hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested. We have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all.
Okay, that's 1 John.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It applies, so I wasn't going to stop it, but we want to look at the book of John, chapter 1. You threw me a curveball. I'm thinking, what kind of version do you have?
It was just close enough.
Well, yeah, you know, but what that tells us is who's the author of both, and a lot of similarity right there. So go ahead and read John 1, verses 1 through 5.
In the beginning, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Okay. Who, in whom was life and light?
God.
In God. Keep going. Jesus. In God incarnate, who was Jesus, the Christ, God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. That's Christ. How do we know that? Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Typically, that's where, when I'm quoting it, I stop. I need to pick up the rest of it. All things came into being by him. Apart from him, nothing came into being. Now we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's inclusive of. If you want to think of it in terms of the plurality of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, fine. If you want to think of it in terms of God just being one and there's three manifestations, it really makes no difference, does it? It's all the same. God created. Jesus is God. He created. In God is the life and the light that Eric spoke of earlier. He's the light of the world. He's the light that we've been reading about back in Psalms, that in 2 Peter, that lights the way, that shows the path, that guides us. Now, so far, our discussion has been focused this way. But what's the intent or the focus of the lesson series? What my responsibility is for everybody out there, right? And that's what we're talking about. Do I have a responsibility, taking all of the things that we've just talked about, for them out there? Now here's where the question comes in. We've already talked about a couple of times that Aaron said the light is already here. Eric said, the light don't work unless you flick the bick. I paraphrased. Yeah. Okay? But you get the idea. That light doesn't just magically appear while I'm on the road to Kawa, like it did for Paul going to Damascus. And I do know where Kawa's at. They got a hamburger joint right on the main street that is to die for. Okay? Or at least they used to. It doesn't happen that way. We're not driving down the street and all of a sudden this bright light shines on us. I think it very interesting that when we read the account of Paul on the road to Damascus, it is a bright light that shines on him. And all throughout the book of John, and as Oren just read in 1 John, thank you, see, it worked out well. God is light. Yeah. Okay? God's light. You just have, you know, brilliant minds. You knew where I was at. Now, you know. That's the light that shines. But it doesn't happen that way for us today. If that light isn't the switch turned on, or, you know, it used to be when I was old, you'd have a little Bic lighter and you do this when you're at a concert. Nowadays they light up their phones and they do this. You know, it's just not the same effect. That's, things have changed. But when we're talking about those people out there, where's the light come from for them? Okay. Us. Oren?
I don't think we're any different than they were back in Jesus' time or Paul's time.
I would agree. Charles has a point that just came through. Hang on to it, Charles. I'm heading there. Acts chapter 8, verses 30 and 31. Somebody please get that for us. Acts 8, verses 30 and 31. Here's the scenario. Philip has been told by the Spirit to go and talk to the eunuch who was in his chariot on the way home. And the eunuch is reading. And he's reading a passage out of Isaiah. There's the scenario. 30 and 31.
And Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except someone guide me?" And he besought Philip to come up and sit with him.
What Oren was just talking about. The attributes of this world declare God in a thunderous voice. They're there. And there will be people who look at those things and are confused. How can this be? What is this telling me? Do you understand what you're looking at? Well, how can I if somebody's not going to tell me about them?
I'm sure if Stephen was here, he would concur that can imagine he's been on scenes of accidents that people, when they said, "How did this happen?" And somebody would say, "I didn't see the light."
Exactly.
But to the point is, the light's always been there. When they built that road, the light was always there. And it's the same reference that when God put this plan of salvation together before the foundations of the world were put together, that the light was there. And the beautiful thing about it is that there are those who see the light, mm-hmm. and there are those who won't see the light, but it's there. And the only way you can dim it is, or not pay attention to it, is your unrighteousness and or your unwillingness to see it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We go through life like that. Now we're going to turn to the passage that Charles just brought up in Matthew chapter 5, And let's read verses 13 through 16. I added a verse, Charles. He suggested 14 through 16, but let's go back and pick up verse 13 through 16, Matthew 5. I don't care who reads, by the way. If you got it, go ahead.
Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savory, wherewith shall it be salted? It is hence good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it shineth unto all that are in the house. Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
This is an all-inclusive passage. It includes, did I just go dead? Oh, okay. I wasn't hearing the kickback and I'm going, oh. It includes our family. It includes our friends. It includes our coworkers and schoolmates. It includes the people out there in the world. I am a reflective light of what Christ was. Christ is the light and the life. We saw that in John chapter 1. That's who God is. That's who Christ is. We are to be following that path that he has lit for us. So we become the light of the world. We're the ones that the world sees the attributes that are out there and says, I don't get, how could this possibly be? Well, let me tell you how. How can I understand it? Somebody won't explain it to me. We're that light. I don't think any of us are going to argue with that. That's looking at verses 15 and 16, or actually 14 through 16. You're the light. No one lights a lamp, sets it on a hill to light the way, and then covers it with a bushel. If you've ever been down in some of the caverns that are up here in these mountains, I was down in the Crystal Caverns up in Kings Canyon, and they turn out the lights. And you literally, you can be touching your nose with your hand, and you can't see it. It's that dark. And then the guide, back when I was there, it's been a number of years, flicked his Bic, turned on the little Bic lighter. And while the light didn't light the whole cavern, you could almost see the aura of the light as it shone around where the flame was flickering. And then you could see where it stopped and darkness took over. It was a really eerie looking thing to see that. Picture yourself as that flickering flame of the light of God as you're going through your life. And there's an aura that exists around you. You're that light. And that light is permeating out there. Charles has another comment that says, if we don't reflect the light of Jesus to the world, then the world's not going to know that they can also be lights or learn the truth of God from us. If the world can't look at me and see God's light, why is it ever going to bother to ask me to help it see the light also? Aaron, you had a point.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment that we're talking about the first creation. And this is when it started. Light was the first creation. So if it wasn't important, it wouldn't have been probably being first. So that sort of thing. And then the idea of reflective light. They used to talk about how how do you get light down into a pyramid? Oh, it's a set of like mirrors that they use, and they would reflect outside. They finally said, no. The light source has to come from one place, and then it's reflected off of one object. Mm-hmm. So the way that light carries is only through one. So where you can't just like sit there, bounce. It effectively has to come from one source and then reflect it off one source.
Yeah. You bring up an interesting point. Going back into creation, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, and the Spirit of God moved upon it. And God said, let there be light.
Or any other creation, light had to happen first.
What was that light? It was whatever it is about God that God placed here on this earth, his attributes, his whatever. Too often we look at the passages concerning creation, and the first thing our mind goes to when it says God created light is the sun. No. We're told that God created, and I believe it was the second day. You guys who know it better than I do. Where he created the light to govern the day and the light to govern the night. That's when the sun and the moon were created. And the moon, while called a light, is nothing more than what? A reflection. Brethren, that's us. We're the moons orbiting Christ, God, his word. And we are to be the reflections of the light of the word, the light of the truth, the light of God. Call it what you want. That's our job. That is our responsibility to them out there as Christians. I may not know that guy who lives 10 miles away. I've never seen him. I've never passed him on the street or anything. But I might. And when I do, what does he need to see? Was that a hand, by the way? Okay. What does he need to see in me? Kim?
Well, just going back to that John 1, verse 5, it says, and the light shines in the darkness. So that's us shining in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it because they didn't know it. But I also think that for me, it also just speaks to me that it could have been light was Jesus, and the darkness is Satan. He didn't comprehend Jesus either.
Exactly right. He knew who Jesus was.
But he didn't comprehend it.
He never got the idea. He didn't get the plan, mm-hmm. how God was going to accomplish it until after it was done. And then he got angry about it.
Yep.
And that's what the past scriptures tell us. Jason?
Think about physical light. Pretty much what it does, it exposes the true nature of sun. About Jesus as light, it both exposes the true nature of something, but it also offers the chance to change into the true nature of him.
And that's the perfect segue into our next question, question 12. How then is this different, what we're talking about, or is it different than the other areas that we've talked about? Okay, that's leading right to the direction that I had in my mind. Remember that light and the aura of that light. Well, that aura, you and I are not strong enough lights for that aura to dispel the darkness. Or we'll do our experiment again. This time, just turn off the two top switches. Okay? See how dark it is up here? Well, there's light back there. And while that light has somewhat of an influence, it doesn't get into that. I'm sitting here looking at the glare of, is that an iPad? of Karen's iPad that's shining up on her face. Go ahead and turn it back on, please. I no longer can see that glare on Karen's face because this is a stronger light that dispels the little light that was coming from the back. We're those lights, and we have an aura. And we have to do our best to learn more, to study more, so that the light that's reflecting in us is effective and people see it and feel it. Charles, that's what he brought in. He says, if we don't reflect that light, it's our responsibility to be the light of Jesus in the world. And if we don't reflect it, there might very well be people out there who never come to the light. Go ahead, Nona.
So it therefore behooves us to learn, to study, because if we don't know enough, how can we glow?
Okay. And there's the perfect, thank you, segue that takes us right into, let's go back now to verse 13 of Matthew 5. Is the salt of the earth a different discussion than the light of the world? Is verse 13 a different topic or context than verses 14 through 16? Say no. No. It's the same exact thing. That said then, the principle that are in verse 13 are also applicable in verses 14 through 16. What is said about the salt in verse 13? We're to be the salt. We're the ones to be out there to savor the world.
But if we have no savor, we have no salt.
Then what happens to the salt?
It's trampled.
It's useless. Throw it on the road and stomp it under your feet. We had Michael and then Eric. They use it a lot up in the hills where we get snow and ice.
Yeah. So is this something to enhance or bring to light with what we need to do, basically?
Yeah. To take what's there, this is what salt does. Salt takes the flavors that are there and explodes them. That's why it's always been my opinion that the more salt, the better flavor. Take that for what Gil thinks. Yeah, Julia says use sea salt. It does it better. Eric, you had a point.
Yeah, two things. Lori Estes used to always say if you put enough salt on anything, it'll taste good, whether you like it or not. But the fact of the matter is, too, that what we know is salt was a preservative for them back then in those days. So it has a quality in and of itself to do something that really not a whole lot of things can do outside of chemical injections into something.
Mm-hmm.
So the beauty is because I would, the picture of this example to me is not that, oh, this little bit of table salt doesn't taste good anymore, because you wouldn't just throw that out on it. It's big masses of salt you're getting rid of, because if it hasn't the opportunity to do what it should be doing, it's no good to you at all. You're throwing it. But here's another interesting thing. I can remember when we had 2 days of football, and there would be guys that were dehydrated, and they were just heaving and could barely walk, and their muscles would all be cramped up. All it took was one salt tablet to fix that.
Yeah, or drink salt water.
Or drink salt, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Here's the point. Oh, go ahead, Jason. Verse 13, we're the salt, okay? We are the salt. If we're not doing our job, then like the salt, we're useless. Nothing, worth nothing more than to be trampled under feet. Brittany, I'll get to you in half a second, because that same principle applies. If we are the light of the world and we haven't flicked our bick, we're the flashlight that doesn't have any batteries and it's useless. We have Brittany and then Karen. Go ahead.
The example. That's the example right there.
Karen?
We're not supposed to hide it under a bushel so we can't keep that light to ourselves.
Yeah. Remember, we're not the source of the light. Okay? That's important to keep in mind. We're not the source. We're the reflection. We can, if you've got a bonfire going that's a source of light, throw a basket over it, you're going to burn the basket up. Okay? But if I'm standing over here and that light's reflecting off of me, I can throw the basket over me and I can hide that light. And when I do, I'm no better than the salt that's lost its savor. Eric, last point.
Yeah, I think what's interesting for us too, as we apply this, that we want to be the light, that we want to be the salt. So we need to bear in mind too that there are people waiting for our flame to flicker so they can say, aha, or that our conversation isn't. Or it should be, our conversation, much to your point, is more salty than it needs to be.
Or not sprinkled with salt. Take your pick.
Exactly. So, and first-hand experience, I've lived that. People say, hey, you did this and you did that. And I didn't even know they were paying attention 10 years ago. Really?
Yeah.
So, got to be careful.
Okay. Only because you didn't have opportunity to make comment earlier. Go ahead, Irene. Absolutely. Fess up. Confess. We're going to pick up with question 12 then next week. We didn't get a real chance or opportunity to make application of it. So question 12, lesson 2 next week, Struggles of the Modern Christian. Thank you all for coming. If you're live streaming, please stay with us. Don't get up and go away. We're going to have a short service here in just a moment.